Sure, I see he's coming up with good ones. I'm going to do that too. And then, what is a leprechaun's favorite movie? Sham Rocky. You know Rocky? You didn't get him. So anyhow, the Shamrock. I love, and we talked about it before St. Patrick's Day. We talked about St. Patrick on who he was as a missionary in Ireland, and it's a great story there of how he was enslaved and then came back and really ministered to the Irish people on the island. And you know why they have the shamrock, which is the clover, the four-leaf clover. So St. Patrick, to explain, because, the Irish people were Druids. So it was a big, the Druid religion was part of the Irish people at the island. So when he came back to minister the gospel, he was trying to explain to these people on the Trinity. So he used the clover, the three-leaf clover. Not the four-leaf clover, but the three-leaf clover. And that's how he described to them on the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They're all one. It's just like the three-leaf clover. And so you still see that today. If you Google it and you pull up the information about the three-leaf clover, the clover, the shamrock in Ireland, and that's still talked about today. That's what they think happened. So I always thought that's it's an awesome holiday, honestly. It's just who St. Patrick was. But this morning, I love this story. I said it before. I love, love, love this story in Acts. And it's just one of those stories that when I first read it as a younger person, right, I didn't get it. And then as I read it again, I've come to realize that this is one of my favorite stories in Scripture. I just love this story about Philip. So we have been in Acts, and we left off with Philip as Philip being one of the seven, right? He was one of the seven. He was called to be a deacon, called by the apostles, and they were voted on, and he was one of the seven. So he was a deacon. And once again, we see how things change. We talked about change. So he was called, he was hired, right, to be a deacon. He was brought in to what? To serve food, to help out, to make sure the widows were taken care of. That's what we see as his job description in early Acts of this is why he was brought in and this is why the seven were brought in. And then as we talked about how things happen and things change, and then we see Stephen, who we talked about, who then was murdered, but then you see Philip and how Philip came into this person of who he is. And this story, just to me, it's one of those stories that knocks it out of the park on, I was the guy. He was Philip. He wasn't looking for anything other than to follow the Lord. That's all he was trying to do is follow the Lord. He is full of the Spirit and he is full of wisdom. Scripture tells us that. And then this story, as his world changed because they scattered. You remember everyone scattered. And then Philip, you see this story. I'm just like, this is an awesome story. So let's just pray this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for the problems we had today. And thank you for the worship that we had today. Because so many times when we have these problems in our mind, we think, oh, it's not going to work out, but, oh, it was great. And we know because how things change around and break up, and it's just, it's good. And I thank you for that. And thank you that that we're here to worship you. That's what we're here for, Lord. Speak to us this morning on this story. And let me pray. Amen. Acts chapter 8, verse 26 through 40. That's where we're going to be at. Title of the message says Soul Runner. And once again, this story is, in my opinion, one of the best stories in Scripture. Some might debate it, but I don't care. I like it anyway. So I'm just going to read through them. Verse 26. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, go south to the road, the desert road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. Gaza. Oh, we've heard a lot about Gaza, haven't we? Still hear a lot about Gaza. So he started out, and on his way, he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, go to the chariot and stay near it. Then Philip ran to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. He said, do you understand what you are reading? Philip asked. How can I, he said, unless someone explains it to me. So he invited Philip to come up to sit with him. The eunuch was reading this passage of scripture. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before the shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth. The eunuch asked Philip, tell me, please, who is this prophet talking about, himself or someone else? Then Philip began with the very passage of scripture and told him news about Jesus. So he traveled along the road. They came to some water, and the eunuch said to him, look, here is water. Why shouldn't I be baptized? And he gave orders to stop the chariot. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord said, and the eunuch rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared in Azotus and traveling about preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea. If you notice, Philip was the very first guy to use, well, maybe not the first, but documented. He liked technology. Into technology. He used AI. He was one of the first to use AI. If you notice that, but in the very first chapter, in verse 26, he was using angel intelligence, AI, angel intelligence. And the angel intelligence gave him directions on his GPS system on what road to take, even like make a left or make a right. But I just love that. Go south to the road, the desert road. So he's getting AI. The GPS system was working. So Philip, I just love this story. So Philip leaves where he was, right, as he was preaching the gospel in Samaria. And then he goes and leaves. And he runs, and this angel, remember, Philip, one of the seven, he was full of the Spirit and full of wisdom. That was the calling for the deacons, the seven. They were called to be full of the Spirit and full of wisdom. And Philip let the Spirit work in his life. And he was open to hearing the Spirit and listen to the Spirit. And that the angel appears to him and gives him the word of God and said, Philip, go south on the desert road. And so he was in Samaria, and then he had to turn around and go back through Jerusalem and walk down. So he had to change his schedule again. So first he was in Jerusalem, and then they scatter from Jerusalem and he goes north. Well, as he's going north, well, now all of a sudden another plan changes. And the angel says, go south. Because why? Because this encounter, in my opinion, is a huge encounter that was planned for, that Philip had to attend to be there, because this Ethiopian eunuch, and he just wasn't just a regular guy. He was in a very important, a VIP. He was a very important person in Ethiopia. He was the treasurer of the queen, and he was in a chariot. He just wasn't on horseback. He wasn't walking. He wasn't, like, at this point, wasn't in a boat, but he was in a chariot, and he had a driver. I mean, That's pretty impressive, right? So here he had a driver, and he was sitting in this chariot. And he was coming back from Jerusalem, because he was in Jerusalem to what? He was in Jerusalem to worship God. Okay, because what do we know? The Ethiopians had a connection there with Jerusalem. Going back to Solomon, when the Queen of Sheba went to Solomon. So this relationship between Ethiopia and Jerusalem, so they understood who God was. They understood, because this man understood who God was and would go to Jerusalem to worship. So he understood who God was, the creator, but he was trying to figure out now, so he's leaving Jerusalem. He was probably in, I don't know where he was, but a synagogue somewhere, and they pull up the book of Isaiah, and they're looking at the prophet, and he's confronted with this question of, what is this prophet talking about? So that was going on with this man, the Ethiopian eunuch, why he's driving in this chariot. And he's reading it. And that time they say, a lot of times they read out loud. So was he reading out loud? Well, Philip heard it. So he's probably reading out loud. But what I love about this story is the connection that Philip had with the Spirit of God. And you look at that, and so many times that's what I look and I think, if an angel presented himself to me, would I freak out, or would I be like Philip? And Philip listened to the angel that the angel presented of, this is what the Spirit of God wants you to do. Philip, turn around. And he didn't do what? He didn't do what Jonah did. We know what Jonah did when he was Jonah the prophet. Go preach to Nineveh. And we know that Jonah was like, here's Nineveh. And Jonah's like, yeah, I'm out. And he gets off his other way. Philip, so in tune with the Spirit, was so in tune of his love for his Savior, the salvation that he got from Jesus' death on the cross and his resurrection, that this is what I love. Philip didn't even do what Moses did. Moses was like, I can't speak, Lord. I can't speak. What does Philip do? Philip gets instruction. He's given instruction that came from the Lord. He knows it's from the Lord. And he runs. He doesn't hesitate. He runs to the going to Gaza, to the chariot, and runs to this chariot. He doesn't hesitate, does he? That verb in there is what I love, the how Philip just changed direction and ran for the purpose, because this guy's soul was at stake. This Ethiopian eunuch, this very important person who had money and wealth, is in charge of the queen's treasury, and all this stuff that this guy had in his chariot. He's a very important person. And Philip, he wasn't in a chariot, was he? Philip probably didn't even have a donkey or a horse that we know, but he was probably on foot walking down the desert road, dusty, smelly, sweaty, and stinky up into this chariot. He doesn't hesitate. He runs to that chariot. And I was like, could that be me? Could that be me as a person? Would I be running to be able to present the gospel to a person? That's a question I think for all of us. Would we run to present the gospel to somebody? We run for many things, don't we? If there's tragedy, your house is burning, something's collapsing, you're running out the door, right? You play sports, you're running to catch ball. If I'm going to use Bob as an example, Beth. You can tell him I called him out. I'm sure if Bob is out hunting turkey, because we know Bob loves to hunt turkey, if he hears something gobbling way over on the next ridge, is he strolling over there? No, he's probably running, you know, as fast as he can to get over to set up for he, that people. When there's something that we love to do or there's a necessity that has to take place, what do? We run. We don't. Okay. Yeah. I'm going to get there. That's not what Philip did. And I think about that and I look at my life and I was like, would I be that person? Are we that people? Because we're alive right now. We're alive right now. And there's people all around us that some people are searching, some people aren't. Are we willing to run to people? Are we willing to speak the truth of the gospel into someone's life where they are right now and let the Spirit just work in that person? That's what we see of Philip. With Philip, as he spoke to this man, the guy has questions. And if you look at the travel, I'm not sure how long it took to get from Jerusalem down back to Ethiopia. Because if you look at a map, you know, Jerusalem's here, and they come, Gaza's here, and then looking at the map, well, he go like over the port there and down through, and then come down through which now is the Suez Canal. Like because if you follow the Suez Canal today, next to Egypt, it comes down and it comes in. There's these countries, and Ethiopia's on like the Horn of Africa over here. So he had quite a bit of travel. So this guy, the Ethiopian eunuch, just didn't like his worship of God, just wasn't, it might not have been just for convenience. It wasn't convenient to get from Ethiopia all the way up and then over to Jerusalem. So the Ethiopian eunuch really was there to, who is God? So Philip gets this instruction and he runs after the chariot and then he steps back and he's able to present the gospel to Ethiopian eunuch. The Ethiopian eunuch then understands what Isaiah the prophet was talking about because Philip was able to explain it to him. And then what do we find in scripture? You know, Romans 10:14. This is a question that gets asked. I'm going to start in verse 12. No difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord, we see it doesn't matter if you're Jewish, it doesn't matter if you're brown, it doesn't matter if you're black, it doesn't matter if you're yellow, it doesn't matter what race you are. It does not matter if you're a man or a woman. It matters that Jesus Christ died for all people, his your soul. Verse 14, how then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? How can people hear if we as believers keep our mouth shut? How can they hear? How can they hear? Philip ran to the chariot. He was ready, willing, and able to speak and present the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we saw it in the prior part of the chapter where he was in Samaria and Philip was speaking of the Lord and people were coming to Christ. Now we see him as he listens to the Spirit of God and goes south and runs to the chariot and then presents the gospel to the man chariot and closes the deal too, okay? In sales, a lot of times, hey, I want to sell you something. You get to the point of, okay, I understand it. Yeah, but Philip closes the deal, This guy was ready, and Philip presents the gospel, tells him the plan of salvation, how Jesus is our Savior, and the man understands it, and then wants to get baptized. Bam, on the spot. Boom. Wants to get baptized. So they get out of the chariot. Once again, this is a VIP. It's kind of, governor driving down the road. Isaiah walking up. He didn't have anything. He went from Jerusalem up to Samaria, came back. We don't know if he showered, if he was probably looking pretty bad. Think about it. This guy in this chariot notices, and he probably noticed that this Jewish man, he probably knows he probably understands the prophets, and since Philip had no problem breaking the ice because his mindset was on someone's soul. His mindset was, this man needs Jesus. His mindset was, I know the answer here, and this man is ready to be harvested, right? He's ready for picking because his heart wants to know who Jesus is. Who's the prophet talking about? So he talks about him. And then what we do know of the situation afterwards, if you look at the Christian history of Ethiopia, and before I get there, but this is an important understanding, in my opinion, of why scripture in translations are so important. Many times we're like, no, I only use this version of scripture. And I pulled out the King James and I used the 1990 edition of the NIV, the new NIV. I'm not pulling that one. I still go, so I'm looking at maybe going to ESV, but the new NIV, they made some changes in there, but the 1990 NIV, I'm still solid with that one. I love the reading. But the King James on this one reads it this way in Acts 8:30 when it talks about the story of Philip. This is the first time how I read it, and it probably that's why I never understood it. It says in the King James, "And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest thou what thou readest?" If you are 60 and older, you if you're 45, if you're 30, no. But you know what I'm saying? So it's like, we don't talk like that today in a translation. So, it's funny. I love my father, right? I love my dad and my mom. And he might be listening. I better not say this, but I'm going to say it. And I always kind of laugh because we talk normal, and then when he prays, he gets into the King James mode. You know, it's because it's habitual, right? How we are taught, how we learn, how we go to church, and we're taught this certain way. But people don't talk like this anymore. Like, and Philip ran thither. What's thither? Mikey, do you know what thither is? Right. Jacqueline, do you know what thither is? Huh? Run forward. That's right. An older generation knows that because we're so close to the translation then we're from the King James. And then that understandest thou what thouest readest. If you grew up with King James, it makes sense. It's understandable. And there's nothing wrong with the King James. There's nothing wrong with the NIV. I'm just making that. When sometimes we think, well, this isn't right because it's not the King James Version, but that translation is still there. It means the same thing. And just like Philip explained the gospel in the guy's language the guy could understand it. We have to make sure people can understand what the scripture is talking about, right? That's part of explaining the gospel to somebody. But as you look at why I think this was a divine, it was divine, right? It came from AI. It came from angel intelligence given to the angel from the Spirit of God to go to Philip, where Philip was commissioned. Now remember, he was commissioned as a deacon. He was commissioned to serve the widows. But the plan changed. The plan changed, and then all of a sudden what happened? Philip became this evangelist, a great evangelist. He was a deacon. He was commissioned to serve widows and help that situation. But when times changed, boom, he was given this gift of evangelism. And we see in this story how he listened to God and followed God, brought this man to an understanding through preaching of who Jesus was and what he did for him. And the guy got it. The guy got it and understood it and then went and got baptized. And then after he got baptized, what happened to Philip? Boom, Philip disappears. Imagine that. So like, what happened to this guy? And they said he never saw him again. The Ethiopian eunuch never saw Philip again. They came out of the water and boom, he was gone. It doesn't say if he disappeared. It doesn't say he walked. I don't know, but he was gone. And then Philip moved on. And then when you go back and you look at, church history, the writings of how the message of Christ and how the church grew from, I think, 100 AD, there's church writings that talk about this Ethiopian eunuch. The Ethiopian eunuch then gets saved, understands the gospel, and then the eunuch doesn't keep his mouth quiet either. Because we already know he loved God. We already know he was searching who God was because he was up in Jerusalem to worship God. And then he found out the whole story of Messiah has come and salvation has come for all. And he's excited and he continues to travel. And as he traveled from this baptism that took place, all the way back up and down through the Horn of Africa, he continued to promote and speak and preach the gospel as well. And Ethiopia, as church writings talk about, that there was a solid church foundation in Ethiopia. And in 2011, they did some archaeology, and they uncovered this 60-by-40 church building, and they found stone like medallions or plates with crosses on them, like the Christian medallions that they would have worn in a church. And that goes back, you know, how many years. But the Spirit of God told Philip that this guy was ripe, and Philip doesn't hesitate. He runs. He was commissioned out. He runs down, tells him about the gospel, because the guy's ready. The guy was searching, and guess what? God knows that this guy's ready. God knows this guy's heart. And the guy wants the Lord. He accepts the Lord. And then this guy now becomes the evangelist. And he goes back up through the Horn and down through the Horn of Africa, preaching the gospel the whole way. And there's documentation that this took place. This happened. This guy got saved. And this VIP was commissioned to wherever that he was in Jerusalem, and he took it down into his land. And Ethiopia today, I mean, there's now there's like 45%, 50% between Christians and Muslims because they've had battles in Ethiopia, right, over religion. But that's what took place. And then Philip goes and disappears. And we don't hear much of Philip after this. We see it then again. I'm going to finish up here. We see it, Philip, one more time in Acts. And this is like 25 years later. Remember, when we read this, we think this is kind of like happening like the next day, don't we? And we're like, wow, but 25 years later, Philip comes back up in Acts. Acts 21, verse 8, we see this. First, we'll start in verse 7. We continued our voyage from Tyre and landed in Patmos, where we greeted the brothers and stayed with them for a day. Leaving the next day, we reached Caesarea and stayed at the house of Philip. What's he called? Philip the Evangelist. One of the seven. He had four unmarried daughters who prophesied. So Philip now was known as this evangelist. And he stayed in Caesarea for 20, 25 years. He maybe died there. We don't know. But he didn't stop preaching the gospel. Did he have a church there? I don't know. Scripture doesn't tell us. But there's all these things that happen in Scripture and these details that we really don't have, and we fragment this stuff together. But what this is what I do know. This is why I love this story of Philip. This is what I know. He was a man just like us. He was a person who was saved by Jesus Christ and was willing and open to have the Spirit in his world, in his life, and listen to what the Spirit wanted of him, right? And he was listening to what the Spirit told him to do, became one of the seven, so he became part of the church, and took the reins to say, okay, the Lord needs help, and I'm going to help. And he jumped in and wanted to help and wanted to serve, because he was full of the Spirit and full of wisdom. And then it changed, and he became this evangelist. He didn't stop. He continued through his life, which you don't see the full picture, of preaching the gospel. Preaching the gospel. That's my prayer. My prayer for me, my prayer for my family, my prayer for this church, my prayer for people in here is that we don't stop. Like that we listen to what God wants from us, and that we promote and speak simply who Jesus Christ is, the truth of Scripture. That's my prayer. That's my prayer. And you know, it was funny because we had the Shamrock Shake thing, right? And for me, I'm kind of like, yeah, we'll show up and we'll do it. I'm a way shoot by the hip kind of guy and had some stuff ready. And Jen, I'm telling you, she listens to the Spirit, and she had packets together. She's ready to speak the gospel to the student comes in, and so all of us, we need to be ready in how we are to present and speak the gospel, right? Are we willing to run after people's souls? That's my question. Father, this morning, I thank you once again, Lord. I thank you for this story. I thank you for the encouragement that I see, that I get from the love that Philip, this man, just like me, that he loved you so much that he was just willing to run after somebody because they wanted to know who you were. Lord, help us to be that. Just a slice, a sliver of that energy for you. And I pray for that. I pray for that for this church. I pray for that for the individuals in this church. Lord, help us to understand our calling that, and help us to listen to that calling. Help us to hear that. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, everyone. If you're staying, if you're not staying, there's still coffee and snacks in the back. If you are staying, there's still coffee and snacks in the back. And then we're going to go have some, Jacqueline went out to get some pizza. We have some food here and some pizza. We're picking up some pizza. And then we're also celebrating two birthdays. Whose birthdays are we celebrating? Yep, Oliver and Weston. So our two little buddies, their birthdays are up. And that was from Gretchen's idea. So that was a great idea to have their birthdays together. as a church, right? To celebrate these little guys and their little birthday and just show love on them. So we're just